in today's world, what I'm seeing is that if you can demonstrate there's value, and if you can demonstrate that it's going to advance the business, bring new capabilities, bring new revenue streams, what have you, the business will help you or partner with you to find the money.
Welcome to the Hackett Group's Business Acceleration Podcast. Each episode shares our latest research, benchmarks, and best practices on world-class performance. Week after week, you'll hear from top experts on how to avoid obstacles, manage detours, and celebrate milestones on the journey to world-class performance.
Hi, I'm Paul Morrison, your host for today's podcast, and my guests are Scott Holland and Mike Fuller. Scott and Mike are both principals from the Hackett Group's IT transformation practice. I'll be guiding the discussion, providing context as needed, and as always, a full transcript for this episode can be found at podcast.thehackettgroup.com. So today's session is all about digital acceleration in IT. This accompanies the recent Hackett report on this topic, and we're going to be kicking around the key themes covered in that. So let's dive in. Let's start at the beginning and kick around some basic terms and ideas, digital and digital acceleration. Scott, Mike, do you want to give us your headline views on what this means to you, what that means to your clients?
Sure. So I'll start, Paul. This is Scott. You know, for me, when we talk about, digital, it's really about the process or processes for really kind of freeing up digital technologies to create, new or enhance existing business processes or capabilities that's really designed around, kind of enhancing the experience of the customer and ability to really meet the rapid changes. And so, this is really foundational around speed to value is really of the essence. And I think for an IT organization, it's really kind of a dual challenge. One is they really need to transform their own function as well as able the enterprise. And then that really kind of complicates things with regards to their need to be able to focus on digital capabilities to support their organization. And then equally as important is to what's the prioritization of investments in new technologies to really kind of deliver that speed to value.
Absolutely. And I think there's many great points in there we could pack. I think the one that jumps out is what you say there about the dual challenge, the fact that digital for IT means getting its own process in order and digitizing it, and also supporting the rest of the enterprise. And that means this is a particularly big task for many of our clients. Mike, do you want to come in with your views? What stands out for you?
So Paul, you made a great point that IT right now is having to look inwardly in order to understand and deliver digital to not only its business partners, its internal customers, but also its external customers who are expecting digital at this point. You wouldn't think that technology is something that would be considered old and stuck in its ways because technology, it's new. But IT shops have been around for 30, 40, in some cases longer, a number of years. And they have people with old skill sets, they have old technology they have to support, they have processes that just have a lot of organizational inertia behind them. And so digital, it's innovation, and IT has to learn how to innovate, not just the fancy new application or system that it's delivering, but its processes, its organizational alignment. And just to sum it up, it's better, faster, cheaper with extremely high quality.
Do you think the agenda or the impetus behind that need to change has taken a boost recently?
It definitely has. The the situation over the past 15 months has accelerated the need for it. I mean, it's not just remote working, but things like knowledge management and being able to deliver more quickly across all different types of systems and platforms. That's definitely accelerated.
I also think, Paul, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I think for years, we as IT professionals have just waited for this moment where IT was, front and center. And I think, certain things have really kind of impacted that. The problem today is we're front and center. We have to respond and we have to react and we got to do it in an accelerated way. So the heat's on, right? So that's the way I feel about it. It's a good news, bad news, and we better perform.
It's a great point. And I don't know what you think, but I think the headline has to be, if we look at the last year, that some amazing, amazing achievements have been done in terms of quickly responding, quickly enabling change, quickly enabling global workforces to stay productive and ensure business continuity. I'm amazed in a way at what's been achieved for so many organizations. Is that how you see it?
I think you're spot on. I mean, think of it this way. If you were an IT organization and you had 20 locations, and you had 10,000 employees, you just went from 20 locations to 10,000 locations, because everybody working from home is now basically a location, and IT needs to make sure that they can, you know, support it, secure it, and provide that capability that allows that worker to be effective at their job. It's amazing. And I think hats off to IT. It's been amazing how fast IT's in a lot of cases has been able to pivot.
Right. And it's not just the individual. It's how the teams work together. If you think about in terms of agile development, testing and release, they used to go into a room and whiteboard and conference room pilots and all of that. Now they're having to do all of that virtually. So still having that same level of quality and agility, not just for those teams, but for everyone else as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you think about, you know, the play on words, the digital acceleration, you know, which the campaign was about, it's really all about the speed to value, right? And the unlocking of that speed. And really, you know, I think the pandemic really accelerated that and made it happen. You know, the thing that really has to happen with acceleration, I think to Mike's point, is, you know, there really needs to be this continuous innovation of products and services and really, you know, create an operation that can yield impactful in economics, but equally as important is the customer experience. And if you think about it in today's world, it's got to be easy, it's got to be transparent, and it's got to be fast. And what that yields is pretty much good business outcomes, good business results. And if you think about organizations like Amazon or Apple, my opinion is the reason why they get it is because their customer focus is on the forefront of their strategy, but equally as important, they really know how to leverage technology to drive that speed, right? To get it in your hands. It's just been an amazing transformation. And as Mike said, in the last 15 months.
I think one of the key words there that you guys have used a few times is around expectations. I think that is at the heart of it. And I guess the term digital acceleration that we use in the report is a reflection of that. In a sense, what is digital acceleration? It's that idea about speed to value. It's that idea that expectations have been redefined about the role of technology, how quickly change can be delivered. It's about expectations on the mindset, the focus that individuals and organizations need to have to make this change happen. So I think, yeah, there's a lot about expectations. It's not just about the kit and the box and the technology. It's around the ideas that support it. And I guess one further thought there around digital acceleration is this idea that in a way it's reinforcing the direction of travel that leaders like Microsoft and Amazon were pushing previously, prior to the pandemic. And one of the Hackett Kyushu's reports called out that 2/3 of organizations have accelerated their digital programs in response to 2020, really turning up the speed on a direction of travel that was emerging before. Okay, let's move forward and think a little bit about the value prop. If we've kicked around what is digital and the idea of digital acceleration that the report frames. When we talk about digital in IT, you know, what's the why, the value proposition? It's got, you touched on customer experience there, but how does it crystallize, or what's the bottom line of the value?
Well, for me, it's really this whole notion of, you know, IT getting closer to the business, right? And it's this whole notion about IT really becoming a valued business partner and really being able to drive new changes, new innovation that really kind of supports the business and their objectives or needs to accelerate their business, quite honestly. And, you know, it's really kind of important today that gap no longer exists. It's almost, using, you know, Mike's word, it's the teaming, right? It's the ability to kind of, you know, be shoulder and shoulder, neck and neck, kind of drive towards a common activity. You know, one of the things that was noted in the key issue study was that the cost will always be a contributing factor to how IT performs, but I'm telling you, it's no longer a primary driver. And really in today's world, it's more about that cliche, showing me value or demonstrating your worth. And I think that's where it's all about is, you know, IT and its ability to help the business advance.
I totally agree with that sentiment, Scott, especially cost is always going to be there, right? Any business has to be, unless you're just, you know, kind of raking it in and you're one of these unicorns and being funded, you know, with tens of billions of dollars with no worry about cost, IT is going to have to worry about it. I think the emphasis on value is interesting because value means a lot of different things. It's not just revenue. It's not just return on an investment. It's not just cost reduction, you know, security. Look at all the incidents that have happened over the recent years with, you know, some of the big banks and retailers, and even just, you know, some of the larger cloud platforms out there recently. So that has elevated over the past several years as everyone is connected in some sense. But then, you know, what we're seeing is a lot of workflow automation, which requires an investment in tools and consolidation of tools on the IT side. And so one of the challenges that IT is facing right now is that cost is always going to be a pressure, but how do you make that investment so that IT's customers can become more efficient and effective themselves, right? And so that trying to make that case has been a challenge as digital transformation has occurred. But what we've seen over the past year or so is that things are starting to click and that the value associated with, you know, workflow automation and, you know, consolidation has been recognized. And, you know, we see IT shops now partnering with their internal customers to charge ahead.
Investment's another key word there. And I guess I'd be really interested in your views on, is the answer spending your way through to higher digital performance? There's a stat in the report that says those organizations that digital world-class, the very best performers in this space, they do spend more per $1 billion revenue than other organizations, but they get much more back in terms of efficiency, operating costs, and other outcomes. And there's an ROI of 600% on spend. Do you see that there's a surge or a table stakes of spending that you need to get into the club of digital high performance?
Not necessarily a threshold. What I've seen is it depends on the industry and how, you know, from a regulatory perspective, what accounting looks like and what matters in terms of CapEx versus OpEx. And, you know, some significant challenges still exist for certain industries just because of the way that they have to account for whether it's cloud or additional investments and what's the downstream impact to their customers. But I've seen the same thing, Paul. And digital performers are making investments. And in fact, from a previous study that we conducted last fall, we actually showed direct correlation where digital investments are made and in both cost reduction in areas like finance and HR and procurement, as well as increased effectiveness because processes are then automated either, you know, via RPA or just simple workflow tools, which enable that. And so we actually have the data science behind those investments resulting in increased efficiency and effects.
And I also think that the point about investment is this all ties together. If you think about, you know, the value proposition getting closer to the business and Mike's comment about working with the business and partnering with the business, I think in today's world, what I'm seeing is that if you can demonstrate there's value, and if you can demonstrate, right, that it's going to advance the business, bring new capabilities, bring new revenue streams, what have you, the business will help you or partner with you to find the money, right? And I think that the partnership today is stronger than it's ever been. There is a strong recognition that in order to achieve those statures of world class, technology is a strong component of it. And it's a key success factor in your ability to achieve that world-class performance, irrespective of what function it is or what activity it is. It's just part of the game today.
Absolutely. I mean, I work a lot with clients in finance, HR, operations, other parts of the business, and I think they would absolutely agree with that importance of partnering with IT to achieve their goals. They can't make much happen without it. I think there's also a sense that if we're thinking about value creation in the wider business, these other parts of the business are getting more mature about understanding their own digital requirements, their own digital goals as well, maybe being slightly less passive and partnering more actively with IT. And I think that's part of this digital acceleration wave is that, you know, yes, IT's role and IT's capability is changing, but also there's a digital obligation and a digital opportunity for the other parts of the business as well. But that's probably another podcast.
So. All I would tell you is, Paul, is today the users are far more smarter about technology capabilities than they ever were.
I just wanted to add one point is that we've been talking about digital and capabilities and innovation and delivering value. If you look at IT budgets, top performers are still using 40% of their budgets just on running the existing infrastructure and applications and systems. The median is closer to like 51, 52%. And then poor performers are in the 60s, right? So IT still has to run the ship. These legacy applications aren't just going to disappear with the snap of the fingers. And I think that's a significant challenge because now you're talking about operating IT at many, many different speeds, and which all of which require different skill sets. And I think, again, making the case that we have this table stakes activities that we have to keep doing, but at the same time, you know, delivering value, it goes back to the word investment. How do you tell that holistic story and then say, okay, to really be digital technology shop, it's a long journey, right? And long meaning 2, 3, 5 years.
It's a great point about the need to keep the lights on and at the same time develop some of these new and emerging capabilities. And I think in a second, we'll turn to that point around these new capabilities that we called out in the report. I guess I just want to bounce one sort of thought off you, which is around, you know, when we talk about value, you know, often it's at a high level. It's talking about types of value, efficiency, effectiveness, experience, and so on. But in my experience, the reality is that when you're creating value, it's built on smaller pieces of the jigsaw. So if we think about the IT process to create value through digital, there are interventions to be made in maintenance, in testing, in service management with technology. And there's a huge complexity in finding where the right new interventions are, where it makes sense to sweat the legacy, where it makes sense to introduce new technology. And you know, that's a big part of the challenge in digital acceleration, is really knowing where to focus across the IT process. Let's turn back to the report for a moment and just focus on those five digital business capabilities at the core of the report. And they are digital engagement, workforce and organization, digital service optimization, digital ecosystem, and then analytics-driven business insight. And I think just to frame this part of the conversation, these are at the core of the report, because when Hackett looked at what's going on in terms of digital trends in IT and other functions, what is really clear to us is that there are common patterns of use cases and opportunity in IT and beyond IT that organizations are taking. And these five capabilities appear to us again and again as the strongest use cases or recipes or patterns of new technology deployment. And so we think they're really key. And maybe, Scott, can you give us a flavor of first of them, digital engagement, and maybe we'll take a step through.
Yeah, sure. So when I think about digital engagement, it's really about how a company or a business service really kind of engages with the customer or suppliers or partners and stakeholders for that matter to really enhance their experience, right? The development of digital engagement capabilities really focus around knowing who your customers are. And remember, your customers can be externally, they can be business leaders, function leaders, employees, third parties, vendors, what have you, right? And it's all about the ability to give and service them in different ways, allow them to have access to information, but do it in a consistent way across the various channels that provides them with, you know, analytics or insights. But it's got to be real time, right? And so to me, that's kind of where the world is getting to. And you think about, you know, the way that we use our phone today and how we interact with applications. I mean, it's real time. It's, you know, you ask a question, you get a response. And, you know, on the flip side of it, some sort of technology on the back end that's driving that experience, or at least enhancing that experience.
Absolutely. It's back to that super demanding user that you were talking about before, Scott, and it's finding its way into the enterprise and into IT. If we think about things like service management and portals, if we think about things like, you know, chatbots as a concept, I mean, and virtual assistants. And a few years ago, these were largely gimmicky, one might say, but the technology that's driving them today is making them a key part of the service stack, it appears, and it's really improving and accelerating quickly. So it's an exciting space. Let's turn to digital workforce and organization. Mike, you want to take us through some thoughts on that?
Well, there's a workforce and organization probably could be two different topics, but because they're so interrelated, I think it makes sense to talk about them together. Think about the workforce. I alluded to it earlier that the workforce, the skills required in a digital environment are different. And that's primarily because the organization, the operating model, those are changing and adapting based upon customer demand. And so when we look at org structures and operating models, they're as we've been saying, much more aligned to the business. So that could be a product focus where a company has decided that it's going to be focused on delivering products internally as well as externally. Or it could be where IT is integrated in with the business. And then how do all the cloud and managed service providers fit in all that? I mean, there's a high degree of complexity. So when we talk about skills and competencies that are required, things like architecture. And it's not just enterprise architecture, it's domain architecture, it's integration architecture, it's the solution architecture, the data architecture. I mean, how does all that fit together from a technology perspective? And then how do you use ITSM, IT Service Management, to orchestrate all that, going back to workflow automation? And then, you know, on the operations side, if we want to be focused on delivering the most value, you know, on a day-to-day basis, do we use things like Kanban to do that? And then on the systems or the application delivery side, what's the right flavor of Agile, if Agile is even appropriate to deliver? We talk about scaled Agile, safe organizations either gone into or exploring how to deliver in that way. So again, I think it comes back to how IT operates to meet its customers' expectations with all of that complexity.
Thank you, Mike. And let's move quickly on with time against us onto digital service management. Scott, do you want to give us a view, or Mike?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, if you think about service optimization, you know, I think about business process automation and is really, you know, never kind of lived up to its claim to fame, right? Or never really delivered on the goods. And, you know, a lot of that has been a byproduct of complex processes, applications, you know, have been customized and really, you know, their inability to kind of adapt to the speed in which the business operates. And so, you know, without really any type of major overhaul of platforms or upgrade of technology capabilities, you know, the gap is just going to continue to widen. So if you think about digital service capabilities, right, it really centers around the use of any of the content as well as the processes, the digital processes. And as Mike talked about, automated workflows or approvals, or as we, Paul, you mentioned about chatbots, really, it's how do we take and really leverage these types of technologies in a way that it just really maximizes the efficiency or effectiveness of these business services, really, and any of the underlying processes. I mean, if you think about today, if you go out on a website or a portal, what have you, and you're doing something out there, 80% of the time, a little chat pops up and says, can I help you, right? So just think about how that service, you know, as opposed to waiting for a service desk, you know, individual to respond. I mean, you can get immediate response to common questions or frequently asked questions, and it happens in seconds, right? You know, you're not on hold for days and hours, it seems like.
Well, and a lot of it should be invisible to IT's clients. IT's been doing automation for a long time. And when we look at infrastructure tools like, you know, Ansible or Puppet, or if we look at the whole monitoring suite with things around like the Elk stack. So IT knows how to optimize how service is delivered. What IT now needs to do is show its customers and deliver to its customers that same level of service. And so we've actually seen a lot of clients who traditionally have had a service catalog that has 400 or 500 different items that are very technical in nature, that no customer, regardless of their level of maturity, is going to know what type of server configuration they need, regardless of whether it's on-prem or in the cloud. And so those have been simplified, or, you know, leading companies are now simplifying that. And so there's two levels of service catalog. One that's customer facing that might have like 30 or 40 items, which actually consist of 30 or 40 IT service catalog items with the whole workflow automated and synchronized and sequenced. So IT now needs to show that not only are we doing it internally that you never knew about, but here's how we're going to deliver it to you so that it becomes much easier to navigate.
And I also think on that point is the level of expectation has gone up dramatically. And so what was maybe something that was accepted with some flaws is no longer accepted with flaws. I always use the analogy. Think about when you go home and you turn the light switch on. You expect the light to go on, don't you? That is the way that the customers today are looking at things. They're expecting it to happen, and they're expecting it to happen then.
Let's keep moving on to our fourth capability, digital ecosystem. And I guess this is an interesting angle here. It's talking about the capability that IT and other parts of the organization need to have for bringing in other entities, partners, service providers, and the ability to do that in an effective and creative way. Mike, have you got some headlines from your side on this?
Well, I mean, I think you hit on it where it's, okay, the ecosystem isn't just technical footprint. It's IT, all the various parts of IT. It's all of the suppliers. And I mean, the categories of suppliers and how you work together with your different suppliers, you know, if it's a traditional MSP or if it's the 600 different flavors of cloud and, you know, just your straight technology providers, whether it's hardware or software. So how do you actually make that all work together? I think when we're talking about the operating model, I was mentioning that, but that ecosystem, just the complexity of it as compared to, you know, when I was working in IT 25 years ago with hands on the keyboard, is if I could imagine that 25 years ago, maybe I would have made different choices in life. But but today it's extremely complex. And so again, it requires a different skill set to get, navigate that complexity. You can't just sit in your silo and say, okay, I'm a systems admin and this is all I'm going to do.
Where are we heading? I mean, you talked about the flavors of cloud and we've got AWS and Google Cloud and Azure and many other players in the space changing ideas and perceptions about how services can be consumed, the red lines between on-prem, the wider world. Where is it heading? Is it clear the direction we're going? Is the role of the external service provider going to continue to grow, or has it reached some sort of stable position? What do you see?
I think it's going to continue to grow, right? There are some companies that are going to be completely out of the data center business, you know, in 2 or 3 years, right? I see a lot of 2025 maps out there that say, okay, we're out of data center. And then they're even moving away from infrastructure as a service, right? It's okay, we're going to be SaaS or PaaS. That's the direction that we're going, which again means that companies need to invest in architecture, invest in security, invest in working with their IT's business partners in terms of, you know, relationship management and integrated solution management. So I think that's the direction that companies are going. It's like, why should we be developing custom applications, except in the case where it's not available on the market, it's specialized and it's a strategic advantage to do so.
Absolutely. No, it's really, really interesting area. And so is capability 5, analytics-driven business insight, our last of the 5 capabilities. I think this is a really juicy point of discussion. Again, we could fill a whole podcast on this. And I'm struck, you're looking across many processes, but looking across IT as a process, and you can see an activity like maintenance where predictive analytics changes the whole dynamic and the whole opportunity to avoid downtime, avoid value leakage, avoid disruption, save costs, impress and delight customers is massive. And we see it in IT service management and ticketing, the use of chatbots and virtual agents to predict and understand individual people accessing a help desk, for example, in a much more proactive, tailored way. There's just so much that analytics can do for technology as well as other processes. I don't know, Scott, Mike, you know, what jumps out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Paul, you talked about, you know, the various ways to use analytics. I mean, and Mike was talking about the investment in security. Well, think about, you know, how important security is. Think about how much data is available and generated on a day in and day out basis, right? And you have to think about, how do I analyze that data from a security standpoint, right? There's not enough humans around in your organization to do that, right? So you're going to have to lean on some sort of predictive analytics coupled with, you know, AI and things of that nature that allows the data to be consumed in a manageable way, but more importantly, allow decisions to be made quickly based upon factual information. And so if you think about the security world, I mean, there's multiple ways for threats. It's just the way that you can leverage this type of technology and concepts to kind of help aid you in your ability to stay on top of it. We know what happens when you fall behind in the security, in the security world.
I would just add, we've been talking about value. A lot of that is relatively, you know, solid maturity when it comes to identifying value at the front end of projects or enhancements or so forth. But one of IT's challenges right now is, how do I go back and see if we actually achieve that value, right? So that we can demonstrate that the value proposition was actually successful. And so being able to, you know, identify that value that was proposed versus at the end what actually delivered is really important. In fact, I've seen some companies who have gone down that path and are pretty mature in recognizing value at the end projects or on a continuous basis for more agile products. They've tied that back to individual developers, right? So when you look at features that are developed, okay, well, how much revenue did that mean that this particular developer, that developer actually achieve in terms of what they were working on? So that's very, very mature, but it's coming.
Very interesting. Amazing. Maybe we'll wrap up with one sort of last question, which is really just to ask who is doing this well. And we've talked about a lot of ideas around the role of value. We've talked around the different capabilities that we see at the heart of digital success. But you know, if you think about your experience and your knowledge, does anyone stand out, any organization stand out where digital is really being taken forward rapidly?
I know of a company that, you know, we've spent a fair amount of time with, and this has actually been kind of something that's been going on for a while, is they're really kind of enhancing the intelligence of the buildings, right? And so they really are driving towards smart building operations, which will ultimately and has led to smart campuses. And then the aspiration is the, you know, ultimately smart cities. And so if you think about in today's world in the building, you know, the facility aspect, you know, typically there has to be individuals that kind of program or monitor, you know, work days and hours of operation so that they can manage and control lights and airflow and all that. But this organization, this company has really kind of taken advantage of smart automation and things. And they've been able to, based upon information they get from external sources, based upon the connective apps on their smartphones, they've been able to, through occupancy flow, manage not only the lights and the airflow, right, but really kind of change the way the building operates. And this is extremely effective when you think about holidays or you think about snow days, right? Unpredictable, and you can't forecast when the snow days are. So they've been really kind of ahead of the game in this aspect, and they've done a remarkable job, and it's incredible. Based upon certain things, you know, they have sensors that allows them to close blinds when the sun's at a certain area to keep the inside of the building, you know, comfortable. So this organization's done a remarkable job with it.
And was that a multi-year job?
Multi-years. And I'll be honest with you, part of the crux and the foundation that Mike talked about it is architecture, right? How do I stitch it all together, right? How do I connect all the things together and then use the analytics that allows them to make decisions? So it's been kind of a, you know, in my mind, you know, a collection of multiple pieces that's come together over time. And it's a tremendous success story.
That's great. Mike, what's your best case?
Well, I have lots of best cases, Paul. But one that comes to mind that I think is really interesting is the use of digital factories. I guess if we compare that to something from, you know, 10 years ago, it's kind of like the evolved version of a innovation center of excellence. And I have a company who's a client. They're in the shipping business, you know, large container ships. And this digital factory was an incubation center for innovation. Interacted tightly with customers, with its business partners to really understand how it could change the way that business was run, you know, from a drastic reduction in costs or from a revenue perspective. And then, you know, establishing that culture within that digital factory, then when something was successful that was proven, and there were lots of failures along the way, it was the whole, you know, fail fast type of mentality. But when something was successful, then pushing it out, you know, to the rest of the organization. And this particular company, the digital factory, produced an application that captains of ships would use to determine where they were in the ocean, what type of fuel they should use, because ships, these big container ships, have at least three different kinds of fuel, which, you know, when you look at how much pollution or exhaust it produced, it would vary. And the different spots of the ocean, you could use different types of fuel. And then it would look at the cargo and say, how valuable is this cargo? How quickly do I need to get it to the port? And so I thought this was a pretty amazing way to bring together many, many different pieces of information to this little tablet where a captain would say, okay, let's go this way in the ocean, use this type of fuel to optimize the delivery of its shipment. And that was just one example that that digital factory produced that I thought was very clever and, you know, increased revenue and drove down costs.
Yeah, that's pretty smart. And I think you raise a really interesting concept, the digital factory. If we think about this conversation and the layers and the threads that need to come together, you know, in a sense, one of the key questions is how do you bring these new skills, these new ideas, new ways of working together? And that digital factory concept, there seems to be a key answer to that for many organizations that's starting to become a best practice. So that's a really interesting example. Well, I notice our time is up. So all that remains for me and all the time we have is to thank you for listening and thank our two speakers today, Mike and Scott. Thank you very much. Really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to know what you thought of this episode. You can write us an email at podcast@thehackitgroup.com. And if you like this episode, please share it. You can find the audio, helpful resources, and a transcript of each episode at podcast.thehackitgroup.com. You can also subscribe at Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening app so you never miss an episode. The Hackett Group is the global leader in defining and enabling world-class performance. Learn how we can assist with your improvement journey at www.thehackittgroup.com.